Don't do a gift horse in the mouth. What is it? Don't, what's it? What is
Don't
it?
look at it. Don't look
Don't
at
look at it. Look at it. I was thinking,
it.
don't kick it. Hello, and welcome to So You Want to Get Into Politics, Adventures of a Would-Be Councillor. This is a fly on the wall podcast following the journey of my friend Craig as he enters the world of party politics for the first time. I'm Rachel, and I'm a local resident of Bemminster and a town councillor.
And I'm Craig, and I hope that you, the listener, will learn how I can represent you and what I'm about. Rachel, how are we going to do it?
Well, we're going to do a weekly Q&A, hopefully picking up questions from our listeners, local residents who are passionate about Bemminster and Mosselton, wherever.
We could talk about local issues.
How businesses will still benefit from having that kind of event on Sundays. We're going to talk about the week's activities and what you've been up to.
There'll be people like that across the town that have all sorts of different ideas around aspects of housing, environment. But I think it's quite important that I just put a warning out that sometimes we will go off topic. We are prone at laughing at each other and generally having a bit of a good time.
We are. So this podcast will be available each week from wherever you get your podcasts. So don't forget to subscribe, like and share to get up-to-date episodes. Hi Craig, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, thank you. How are you doing, Rach?
Yes, I'm good, thank you. Have you been saving the town with all the floods that have been coming through, or has it been okay?
It's been all right. I think all the preemptive work our amazing volunteers do means that we don't get too affected at the moment, although we seem to be on a constant flood watch. So I'll probably get at least one text every day from the environment agency or whoever it is to send out texts to warn us for potential flooding. But other than that, all great, man. I'm a little bit concerned. Obviously, our listeners can't see us, but you missed your screen and it looks like you've got a dead body hanging behind you, which is very disconcerting. Is everything okay?
Yeah. Well, right. It's grayed out. I was hoping you wouldn't mention it. So
that's going to make the shortcut.
That's the police in you, isn't it? That's you want to detect. I could unblur the background, but you know it's not pretty. Let's not do that.
Fine. Well, just for our one listener, Hillary, don't worry.
All is well.
There isn't a corpse hanging behind Rachel in a Zoom screen. Anyway, let's move it swiftly on.
Yeah, let's please. That was a blindside. Well, our weather, we've got this microclimate in Bemminster, haven't we? And we've had all sorts of this, the hail and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, let's not talk about the weather. It's boring.
Yes.
Did you meet Ed Davey? I believe he was around. He's been around, hasn't he?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, I would love to have met him. I missed Ed. I believe from social media, perhaps the weather beat him slightly. I do feel a bit sorry for him. It was pretty bad. But yeah, I think I saw one short video on Twitter of him just walking into the sea at West Bay. Not sure why.
Reginald Perrin?
Literally just walked
you
into the sea.
You wouldn't know that reference, would you?
No, I don't. I'm skipping over that. No, he just walked into the sea. I don't quite know. I know Sir Ed has a bit of a reputation for sort of, you know, quirky gimmicks to try and catch attention. So maybe walking into the sea was one of them. And I think he visited Washington Pool Farm shop and made a bad joke about orange carrots, which, you know, okay, fine. Oh. I was in the post office, so I didn't bump into him in the post office, funnily enough. No, he kept well away from the post office. But no, you know, I'm sure it was an enjoyable experience for the people that are obviously working hard for the Lib Dem candidates in the area to meet Sir Ed. So no, unfortunately, I missed him, but I hope he enjoyed the West Dorset weather this week.
Yeah, it's good. Well, yeah, what a shame. That was his loss then, wasn't it? If he didn't get to meet you, Craig.
Well, why he didn't come to Bemminster, I don't know.
I know.
Absolute jewel in the Dorset crown.
Yeah,
and he didn't come to see us. I'm disappointed.
Come on, Sir Ed.
Yeah.
When you listen to this, make sure you come back and see us.
Well, yeah, I won't go that far. I'm joking. Of course, you're always welcome, Sir Ed.
We have had a couple of messages coming in, but I'm going to ask one question to you from Shirley Samways. Hi, Shirley, if you're listening.
Hello,
hope you
Shirley.
Are. Shirley has posed a question. Yeah. I would like your views on the future of our square and if there are plans for it that will enhance our town.
Okay.
That's what Shirley
So
asks.
that's a good question. Thank you, Shirley. And I know I kind of know where Shirley's coming from on this, because I've met Shirley and we've discussed the square in the past, actually, a little while ago. So
You want to just tell the listeners who Shirley is?
Shirley Samways is one of our fantastic local businesses. She is one of the co-owners of the Trading Post Cafe just off the square. And one of the oldest, I believe, one of the oldest businesses in Bedminster. Obviously, there's probably a couple of businesses that are older in the sense that they've been in existence for hundreds of years. But in terms of an individual person and her husband who have run the calf, I think she's one of the oldest businesses to be here. So there you go, bit of an
Okay.
interesting fact.
Yeah,
Local
that is
candidate, knowing
interesting.
the local, might be completely wrong. She might be like, no, I'm not. Anyway. So that's Shirley. So great local calf to visit if you're in the area. So the question probably slightly leads on to some history of the square. So I know some years ago, and I know all this because after meeting Shirley, I climbed up into the loft at the town hall to pull out all the paperwork and find out what was previously discussed. So basically, to try and give you a quick history lesson, 2012, I think it was 2012 to 2013. There was a group of local residents who wanted to explore the possibility of, revamping and changing the square, making it a bit more pedestrian friendly, with two or three different ideas how that could happen. So the then chairman of the council, chair lady of the council at the time, Rebecca Knox, who's obviously currently the ward councillor here, set up a working party of council and non-councillors, and actually was a really big piece of work. I think it lasted about 18 months and involved questionnaires to community groups and essentially a referendum on three or four options that were tabled. The first option was essentially to completely pedestrianise the square. The second option was to rejig the square and create some sort of partially pedestrianized bits, which meant losing, I think it was six car parking spaces. A third option was quite similar, if I remember rightly. And then the last option was basically to leave it as it is. There was loads and loads of feedback on the different options from different groups and individuals. And the working party and the council of the day agreed on a policy which went with the fairly high majority of what people wanted, which was essentially to leave the square as it is, but to enhance it and sort of tidy it up and do it up. And there was a list of things that the council proposed on doing. So it was things like adding some extra benches and seated areas, adding more flowers and sort of decorating it with wildlife, resurfacing the square, and a few other things like that. So that was adopted by council, and over the years we've done that. I would suggest, in fact, the last thing, and I only found this out by pulling out the box at the attic. The only thing that we hadn't really done on the square was, which was a recommendation, was to plant some trees. So the two trees that have appeared on the square last year, which I'm really personally really pleased about. I know some people didn't like the boxes, but they've weathered in now, so they look a bit better, but. The
They do look nice.
two trees that appeared was the last bit of that enhancement, which I was really pleased to get done. And obviously they're both sort of memorial trees for the late Queen and the King's coronation, and a local resident that donated some money for that purpose. So in terms of the list of things that was adopted by the council of the day, we've pretty much done all those things now. And actually, on the trees, the reason we actually put the trees into planters rather than planting them was for two main reasons. One, in those planters, they're easier to move. So if we have sort of big events in the square in the future, we can literally pick the trees up, move them out of the way, use the square for a public event, and then put the trees back afterwards.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea.
And the second reason was, and this then follows on to a little bit of the present and the future, is that the utilities in the square, like your phone lines and drainage and electric, gas, whatever, is basically kind of an unknown. We don't know where this stuff is. So planting trees could cause problems with utilities, basically. And that could become very costly. So that's the kind of history. So what the square sort of looks like now is was a byproduct of that. The here and now, and my kind of position on it, the square is obviously a really important vocal point of the town. And I know we've talked about this over the years, Rach, and other councillors, that how we can make more use of it. So the actual square itself, or at the central bit where Julia is owned by Bedminster Town Council. And the current arrangement is that we lease that square out to Dorset Council, that administer the car parking, and we basically get a percentage of the parking fees.
And for our international listeners, Julia is not a person, it is a monument.
No, Julia is a person that stands there. And we have two international listeners, if the statistics have been...
Well, exactly. Yeah.
It's
you
an
know.
Ancient memorial to somebody who used to live in the town who was called Julia. For our international listeners.
You were doing so well with the history, but carry on.
Well that's true, isn't it? Well, it wasn't just Julia. It's a long Montague, isn't it? Or bigger name, but anyway, whatever.
I know.
We'll cut that bit out. So anyway, back to the topic. So over the last few years, we've looked at different things that we can do to enhance the square further and make it more appealing. And you know, drive people to the square. So obviously the hanging baskets, we've done a lot more with. We've got more flags. We decorated the flagpoles last year, and I'm really pleased to see the flags up. They looked great. The bunting's going up in May. So we do lots of things to draw people. I think one of the challenges, well, there's lots of challenges with kind of doing more. The first one is in terms of trying to have more seating area in the square. That becomes difficult predominantly for two reasons. One, even though we own the square, there is actually highway access. So it's not just a simple case of saying, well, actually, we've decided we're going to do something completely different with the square. Because it forms part of the highway, highways have a claim to it. So the outside parking that goes around the outside of the square is actually different to what we kind of own in the middle. So it gets really complicated. You can't just close it willy-nilly. Even though we own it, we don't necessarily have full access to it. It's odd. It's just an unusual situation. But in COVID, we had access to some funds that we secured to get some barriers, tables and chairs. So actually, during COVID, when businesses were starting to reopen, we actually tried to pedestrianize the square and create it in a space of a bit more kind of al fresco dining in the summer. We spoke to all the local restaurants around the square, cafes, bars, etc., and said, look, we've got this funding. We can, you know, fence off, make it safe. We can put some extra tables and chairs and, you know, grow the table covers for your restaurants. You know, would you like us to do it? And basically every single establishment said no. But really understandably, lots of different reasons why: health and safety, insurance and all that stuff. But the kind of bottom line and the real tell for me, which I found interesting, was that actually the businesses that would benefit the most from increased pedestrian space and provide those services for people that might want to buy a coffee and read a book or whatever, basically didn't want to provide that service, didn't want to cater for it, which I completely understand why. It just didn't work for them. So for me, that kind of reinforced the historical message, which was that because we are a kind of hub town and support lots of local villages, the need for parking for people to pop in, pop out, disabled access to local shops, and the ease of people using the square to use our local businesses is really important to local residents and really important to local businesses. So it kind of showed that the space that's currently used for parking is actually really important to people that use it. And it is a popular space in the sense that we have the Yarnbarton car park. So often people say, well, the Yarnbarton car park is empty and everyone parks in the square and they can all park at Yarnbarton. Some people can't because of access, disability, etc., which is why the local businesses are quite lucky to have, you know, parking outside their shop. Because if you think about even Bridport, you can't just park outside the butchers and just pop in and do your shopping. But actually, statistically, what we know now and in the past is that the Yarnbarton car park is used as much in terms of people paying for parking as the square. So it's not necessarily the case that Yarnbarton's empty. and the square's full, actually it balances out across. So there is a mix of people using both car parks. But then looking to the future, I recognize that the square is like a real historical vocal point. In recent years, we've obviously, you and I, Rachel, have organized and hosted jubilees and, you know, coronations. Historically, Bedminster Festival's done the same. You know, it's a real space that people like to use. And I think that the future use of the square should be promoting that even more. So very recently, I've spoken to a couple local businesses that provide services around things like markets. So in the past, we used to have a Sunday French, you know, French market on a Sunday. I'm really keen on trying to reintroduce those sorts of uses for the square, maybe a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday when a lot of the businesses are closed, because that would increase footfall and more trade to people like Shirley's, you know, Shirley's Calf. So I'm really keen on doing more stuff like that. And if we can do more stuff like that with local businesses, local farmers, local producers, I would really want that to be kept local. So I definitely think there's lots we can do in the future. But going back to the first point I made, the square, the central part of the square is actually owned by Bedminster Town Council. So the leading point would be for Bedminster Town Council to kind of decide how that space is used in the future. But absolutely, as the local kind of councillor, if the public drive, you know, that conversation and want to do something different, and the town council wants to use their space in a different way, I'd 100% support that.
Okay.
So yeah.
Just to stop you there. So I want to ask a question about the Sunday bit of the market. I know that's a sort of pick up on that because and I'll come back to that. But also while you were talking, I Googled the memorial.
Okay, you're gonna correct me.
And it's the
Perfect.
Robinson Memorial.
Not
This
Montague, sorry.
is on historicengland.org,
Yeah.
so must be true. This memorial was put up in memory of Elizabeth Julia Robinson of Parnham.
Quite
In the
right.
style of a covered market cross, it has an inscription. This memorial, erected by Vincent Joseph Robinson, CIE 1906. There we go. So
Stand
it's called
corrected.
Julia because it's in memory of Elizabeth Julia
Julia
Robinson.
Robinson. So it's just
Anyway, just
Robinson.
felt like we should get that done. It's an Edwardian thing.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
No, oh, you're right, you're welcome.
The other thing I was going to say, actually, no, sorry, you asked me a question.
Yes.
Go on.
You said that you thought that you're looking to maybe reintroduce the Sunday markets so that businesses like Shirley could benefit.
Yeah.
But I'm jumping in before you get a barrage of, well, we're shut on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Could you explain why a Sunday? Because I think there's a reason why it can't be a Saturday, isn't there? And also how businesses will still benefit from having that kind of event on Sundays.
Yeah.
What's your thinking on that?
So the reason we would talk about Sundays or Sunday markets rather than Saturday is because we're not allowed to have a Saturday market. So the reason that, well, part of the reason that we're obviously a market town is that many, many, many years ago, all the local towns were given kind of market status and when they can have markets. So our kind of designated market days by like King Henry VIII or whoever it was is from memory, I think it's a Thursday and a Sunday.
Right.
So Bridport is Wednesday and Saturday, hence the reason they have their market on a Wednesday and Saturday. So
Yeah.
we'd have to have our market on a Thursday or a Sunday. The main reason I would probably lean towards a Sunday instead of a Thursday is because obviously the main square's open and we know it's busy with our local businesses, and it would become might be a bit challenging. And I'd suspect that more people would probably attend a Sunday than a Thursday. How it would benefit local businesses would be in part down to local businesses and how they would welcome this idea. So I guess, first of all, obviously you are quite right. A lot of the local businesses obviously close on a Sunday, but maybe If increased footfall and people coming to Bearminster on a Sunday directly meant that there was a business case for them to open, that they may choose to open. And I think anything that we looked at doing would need to be in like partnership with local businesses. So we have, you know, we do have our kind of informal, like once a quarter get together with local businesses for them to feed into us. So actually, one of the reasons I'm thinking and talking and exploring this is because local businesses have come to our meetings and talked about these things and ideas on how we can promote the town. So it would be a collaboration. And I think indirectly it'll benefit businesses in the wider town, because if we could attract more footfall and people to visit Bearminster on a Sunday, and they come along and they think, oh, this looks really nice, there's local pubs and et cetera and so on and so forth, there's more chance they may come back and visit again. So I think there's an indirect benefit too. And we can look at other examples of stuff that we've done in recent years for the town's benefit, like the scarecrow competition, which we're bringing back this year.
Yes, scarecrows.
So we know the scarecrow competition, yes, it's good fun. It's a little bit of banter. Local community love it, engage with it. But we also know from it, through the competitions that we run and the scarecrow trail that we plot out, that I think the last time we had scarecrows, 260 people entered the competition.
Yeah.
So that's 260 people that have walked around our town. Now, most of them probably live here, but we know that some people have come here to see the scarecrows, do the trail, which always conveniently passes local establishments and so on and so forth. So that's why I think there'll be a benefit on a Sunday. But it'd be really important that those kind of local businesses benefit from it and don't feel hindered by it. So, you know, Nick's Hair and Anthony, the butchers and the fruit and veg shop people like that, it'd be great for them to sort of feed into the conversation. But at the end of the day, it's about the big, for me, it's like the bigger picture and, you know, enhancing the town and bringing more people here, which for the benefit of like all those little businesses, really.
Brilliant. One of your key points that you've been working towards is the neighbourhood plan.
Yes.
Is this linked to that? Is there some, you know, can you,
yeah,
is there some synergy between what you've just been talking about and what your hopes are, and, you know, what your aims are with the neighbourhood plan? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, no, massively. I think there is. I think talking about the neighbourhood plan and the importance of a neighbourhood plan, it's not, I think I've touched on this in previous podcasts, it's not the most interesting thing to talk about as a candidate for local elections, but I think it's one of the most important things because it does define kind of everything about our town. So actually, part of my answer to Shirley's question, which is like the future of Bearminster, I'm talking about what I think would be good for us and, you know, talking to local businesses and everything else. But actually, it doesn't matter what I think, it's what the town thinks. And a neighborhood plan gives a voice for the town to shape what Bearminster will look like for the next 10 years and beyond. So, you know, volunteers, local business owners, members of the public, community groups joining the work that I'm leading on the neighborhood plan means that those community groups will feed into the conversation. I'm saying I think we should do a Sunday market, but you know what? If enough people came forward as part of a, you know, the local plan and or neighborhood plan and said, well, actually, we'd like to change how the square's shaped. We'd like to do these sorts of things and whatever it may be. That's the point of a neighborhood plan. It gives a community the voice and the ability to shape what the town looks like, how houses are built, what type of employment we're going to have here. You know, the houses that we build, who they're for, how public space looks, you know, all that stuff, literally everything is fed into a neighbor, you know, into a neighborhood plan. Then it's agreed by the population by referendum. So yeah, I think it's absolutely the neighborhood plan is pretty much in the middle of everything else that I talk about. Because if people, like, you know, obviously if Shirley and other members of the community have some really good ideas that how they can improve the town, the neighborhood plan is, I think, the best vehicle to do it. So it's absolutely front and center of everything we talk about.
I went along to the my first neighborhood plan meeting a few weeks ago because I hadn't attended any of the others because it's gone a bit quiet, hasn't it, for a while, and then you've sort of ramped it up again over the last 6 to 12 months, I suppose. It might be a bit longer than that. And I attended one. If I'm really, really honest, I attended to make up numbers and be representative of the council.
Yeah.
I was surprised at, I didn't really know what it meant, if I'm on, really, I
Yeah.
knew roughly, but I came away from that thinking that there are, if there are people, local residents who are passionate about Bedminster and Mosterton, wherever, but oh no, would the neighbourhood plan just be Bedminster or is it Mosterton?
It'll be so it'll be separate plans, but they kind of like co-in-sync to that.
Right,
So you'd
okay.
have Bedminster would have it, its plan, Mosterton
Yeah,
would have its plan,
yeah.
and but the relevance of local areas impacts that plan.
Yeah. But what I was going to say was I think that I was pondering on the fact that there are a lot of passionate people in Bedminster who are passionate about their town. But don't necessarily want to join the council. But this is the ideal opportunity to have your say about what you want, isn't it? And to you know,
Influence.
without being on the council.
Yeah.
And I think that might be a bit too broad, but it did feel like, and I'm not sure people really understand what it is.
No. So we are. So at the sorry to cut you off, but yeah, no, you're right. At the next at our annual parish council meeting next month, it's something that I really led on in the annual parish letter, which is being posted or being is currently being posted through everyone's letterbox, so everyone will get a copy of that. I know you're absolutely right, and actually the kind of working group of the neighborhood plan, the more non-councillors and the more representatives from different elements of the community, the better. And we have we're rebuilding that. We do have the makings of a good mix. The local secondary school is represented there for the younger people. The school has a youth council, which I'm really, really keen on meeting and sort of getting them involved. We've got some specialist kind of consultants that are doing the kind of real legwork on the paperwork for us. But no, you're absolutely right. It is a really good opportunity for local people that might think, well, I have a real passion about, like someone like Shirley, who has some really, some real strong ideas around what she thinks the square could look like. There'll be people like that across the town that have all sorts of different ideas around aspects of housing, environment, the nature of our town, how we use our energy, literally everything. And it's
Yeah, it
about
was
bringing,
really, it really blew my mind actually. I mean, the architecture,
was
if people,
massive.
if a big group of people came together and wanted pink houses, you know, could be thought for a reason as long as there's justification. It was, it, yeah, this is a thing that's that you can make an impact without being, I mean, obviously we're recruiting for council and we would like more people to come on the council, but this to me seemed like a really good opportunity as well, and I think it would be good if people can come along to the parish meeting and hear more about what that means. And there's going to be some other
Exercises,
yeah exercises where we're going to have people coming on, you know,
yeah.
accessible days, isn't it, for people to come and see what it means.
Yeah, we're planning some sort of suitable accessible dates where members of the current sort of working party, working group will get together. We'll invite members of the public down to the hall, and literally kind of like a post-it note sticky, map of Bedminster on the wall kind of situation, and just ask people to pop in for half an hour or whatever and get around a table and just tell us what they think, and stick some post-it notes on a map, where do you want employment to go, where do you want the next park to be, and all those sorts of things, just to kind of get the conversation. Because the way I would explain the neighborhood plan is it's a massive piece of work that takes years. But don't look at like that end goal of this massive piece of work that takes years. Break it down into manageable like chunks. So if there's somebody in the town who has massive depth of knowledge and understanding of architecture or the environment or whatever it may be, what we're looking for is members of the public that have like a real passion and deep knowledge on a small element of a plan to just come forward and sort of say, look, I'm happy to help with that bit. So it's like writing a book. If everybody came forward and wrote a chapter, then that's not too difficult, right? Like I can write a chapter of a book, but I can't write a book, it'll take me forever and it's daunting. But if everybody came forward and just, wrote a chapter of the Book of Bedminster and maybe had a few people that helped with a few of the paragraphs, then we can put that together, and that's what a neighborhood plan is.
Well, I think that was good. I think it was good to be able to talk about the neighborhood plan because it is important. I certainly understand it a bit more after going to that meeting, and again after you've just given that metaphor has been, beautifully summed up.
Yeah, poetic.
And I think we'll leave it there.
Yeah, well, and Shirley, thank you for the question again. Hopefully I've kind of answered it to your to what you wanted from me. But I guess the last thing I'll say is it doesn't matter what I think, it's what you think. So join the neighborhood plan and bring some people along with you.
Absolutely. And come along to the Bedminster meeting if you can, the business of Bedminster meetings.
Yes, absolutely. We'll be doing another one of those soon.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks,
Well,
Rach.
have a good few days
Enjoy
and
your
I'll catch up
Easter.
with you. Yeah. Bye.
Bye for now.
So don't forget to subscribe, like, and share to get up-to-date episodes, which
That's
is
quite
great.
a good way of describing it. I just literally made
Yeah,
it up.
that was very profound.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Christ. Well, that's.
Keep that in.
Yeah. Don't cut that out.
No.